It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheim. Theaters have been an important part of cities and towns across the country. In recent years, more people are seeing how theaters can be an economic engine of development. The Conclave Theater Tour is held every year in a different city. This year, Pittsburgh is hosting the tour, showcasing the region's contributions to theatrical architecture. Joining us with an overview of this year's tour is Rick Fosbrink. He's Executive Director of the Theater Historical Society of America. Rick Fosbrink, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thank you. Great to be here.
Talk about the goal of the Conclave Theater Tour. What are you looking to accomplish?
Well, it's actually an event that has a lot of purposes. So at a very level, it's utilitarian in the fact that we like to go to a different region of the country and see theaters. In doing that, it's somewhat educational. So our members like to come and see different types of theaters, different sorts of buildings, and learn about different areas of the country. And then it's partly a fundraiser for us as well. And then lastly, it's an opportunity to draw attention and bring a national focus to theaters of every particular region that we visit.
And how do Pittsburgh's theaters compare with theaters in other regions that you've been to?
Well, there's very similar styles in all sorts of different places. Theaters here are absolutely gorgeous. There's a big bonus for us because there are so many places we can visit in a relatively small square mileage. Particularly in the city of Pittsburgh, there are so many fantastic buildings in downtown Pittsburgh, you know, much to the hard work of the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust and the Pittsburgh Symphony and the folks at the Heinz Endowments and all of the different organizations that have worked together to keep the downtown theaters up and running.
Do you offer suggestions to theater owners?
Well, we do offer some suggestions sometimes, and sometimes our members who actually have a great deal of personal knowledge about buildings, they want to offer suggestions as well, but they may not be the most welcome suggestions, because if somebody sees a seat that's sort of ripped or frayed, you know, we don't want our members to say, oh, did you happen to see that seat there? No, we try not to do those sorts of things.
So how long have you been doing this?
I have worked for THS for a little over 2 years. However, we've been around for 46 years. We've been doing theater tours for about 40 years.
And you were mentioning earlier how Pittsburgh has these ornate theaters that go way, way back. There's a lot of history here. What contributes to that? What has been the influence on theaters and architectural aspects of theaters in Pittsburgh?
Well, of course, the industrial heritage of the city of Pittsburgh is very important, and that sort of led to having lots of theater buildings and lots of entertainment because there were so many people here working. You know, you've got very interesting history in terms of this is the birthplace of the very first Nickelodeon theater here on Smithfield Street in downtown Pittsburgh. There's certainly a lot of influence to the film industry. Metro Pictures was started here. I mean, Pittsburgh is a fantastic town, and there's a lot of great theater buildings.
As a native of Pittsburgh, what were your favorite theaters?
Well, I had a very unique experience of being in college and getting to sing with the Pittsburgh Symphony at Heinz Hall with Marvin Hamlisch. And, you know, so to me, that was a very exciting experience to be in Heinz Hall and be in the orchestra pit that came up out of the floor. And there was the audience and the orchestra was behind us. So that is, for me, a very special experience. But, you know, growing up, we would come to see shows at like the Benedum Center or Heinz Hall. And I thought that everywhere in America was like Pittsburgh. I didn't realize that this was a very special thing that we have here in downtown Pittsburgh.
And we have also reinvented or redesigned a lot of our theaters. They have been repurposed mm-hmm. and renovated, but the historic integrity has been kept intact.
Mm-hmm. Well, particularly the Benedum Center, you know, originally was the Stanley Theater, is an absolutely gorgeous restoration of the building, very much 100% the way it was originally. Heinz Hall was originally the Lowe's Penn Theater. It's a little bit different. They took out some of the ornamentation in the auditorium to help improve the acoustics. But certainly the fact that the buildings are still there and they are used as living, breathing places for people to come and experience entertainment, that is just phenomenal that they're still being used in that way.
What are other cities doing? Do they do the same thing that Pittsburgh does?
They do, sometimes not on the scale that we have here in terms of like the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust. There are other places like Cleveland Playhouse Square that are doing very similar things. But there's certainly a spirit here in Pittsburgh that the arts are important, and we're going to focus on that. We're going to create a district. We're going to restore theaters. We're going to open new theaters and build big places like the O'Reilly. I feel like it's a community treasure to have all these places so compact there in downtown area.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is Rick Fossbrink. He's Executive Director of the Theater Historical Society of America. What area theaters will you be looking at this week?
We're actually going to be all over Western Pennsylvania, so we do have a day when we're in downtown Pittsburgh. We'll be out in Oakland. We'll be going out to Oakmont and Vandergrift and Erie and Meadville and Grove City, and then out into Westmoreland and Fayette counties, Connellsville, Scottsdale, Uniontown. We're going to be all over Western Pennsylvania.
Do you see more theater restoration and preservation happening across the country?
You know, that's an interesting question, because there was certainly a time when there were a lot of projects going on just because there were so many theaters, and there were so many theaters that were falling apart. I'm not sure if I could say that there's more or less going on, but there are certainly a lot of projects going on all over America that are very important to the local communities.
What was the tipping point? For example, I spent some time in Sioux City, Iowa, where they had an Orpheum Theater, you know, a Radio Keith Orpheum designed theater in the late 20s, like a lot of the ones that popped up in cities around the country. And it had been turned into, they put up false walls, plaster walls, covered up chandeliers and woodwork, turned it into a multiplex movie complex. And then one day it dawned on somebody that if we can come up with a few million, we can restore this thing to its original grandeur, and it's going to look a heck of a lot better than what we have now.
Right.
At what point did people start waking up to that idea across the country?
Well, I think that that really began much like we had here in Pittsburgh, you know, with Lowe's Penn sitting there empty for a few years and the Pittsburgh Symphony needing a new home in the late 60s. And I think that's when there was certainly a big push for restoration and preservation. It's almost as if Pittsburgh is somewhat of a microcosm, you know, of what was going on in the entire United States. So, you know, in the late 60s, we have the founding of the Pittsburgh History and Landmarks Foundation, and then the restoration of Hines Hall. It's also a story across the country that's tied to changes in technology and suburban sprawl. And then, you know, I think people getting into the 80s and 90s and reacting to the fact that, well, you know, maybe having all of these sprawling suburbs is not the best thing. And so now we're seeing people moving back into downtowns and people even more wanting to save their little neighborhoods and their little communities in larger cities.
So this is part of the refocusing and the migration back to the urban environment and being in the city?
I think so, personally. And I think it's, you know, something that I've seen in my lifetime of this huge change of people are going out of the suburbs and coming back downtown and want to have a little neighborhood and have a little neighborhood theater.
A lot of this is about dollars and cents issues, but I'm guessing that a big part of it really comes back to romanticism.
Right. Well, there's a certain level of nostalgia with the theater. You know, everyone has a story about a theater, whether it was where my grandparents went on their first date or where I went on my first date. There's a sense of romance and nostalgia with theaters.
And as you look at different theaters around the country, this is kind of putting you on the spot, but is there one in particular that you're just totally enamored with?
Well, I mean, I love all theaters, but because I'm a Pittsburgher, you know, by birth, I, of course, love all of our theaters here in downtown Pittsburgh.
We've been talking with Rick Fossbrink. He is Executive Director of the Theater Historical Society of America. Rick, it's been a great pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In a world where there's an infinite list of movie viewing options at our fingertips, sometimes a good film viewed on a TV, smartphone, or tablet just doesn't suffice. Row House Cinema in Lawrenceville is a new throwback to the old neighborhood movie theater. It's the first single screen theater to open in the last 30 years and first for Lawrenceville in 50 years. They aim to tap into those at-home favorites and curate a combination of new and old classics. I'm joined now by real estate developer and owner Brian Mendelson to find out more about his plans for Row House Cinema and its impact on the neighborhood. Brian, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
At a time when less and less people are bothering to go to the big movieplexes, what do you hope to do with Row House that's different?
That's a good question. There is a lot of things we have to do differently to compete against the suburban multi-chains, as well as just staying at home and sitting on our couch because of the online entertainment that we have today. It's endless. And so the way we look at it is, what can we create that's different than what you could already experience? And the word that keeps on coming up is magic. So how do you create – the movies is magic, and magic. And really wanted to think about what made movies exciting to begin with, what made movies exciting for me personally. And that is to be able to go to a place where there's a community, there's a sense of environment. There is not only educational experience to it, but also just a sense of feeling to the movie. So you get into the movie more. So like when you watch one of your favorites that you've seen 10 times already, you see it on the big screen surrounded by people who also love that movie. It's a very different experience. And so that's our central difference. The other differences are we are walking distance to many of our hopeful future customers, as well as just being a part of the Pittsburgh community. And then finally, we offer different concessions and beer and things like that that most movie theaters don't look at.
Well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Movies and beer. That seems like a pretty interesting combination there. Mm-hmm. What led you to decide to do that?
Beer is something where in the last few years, the environment has really changed from this macro beer economy where InBev and all these other major companies have, you know, essentially dominate the market. Last three or four years, craft beer movement has grown tremendously. In Lawrenceville alone, we've had, you know, three or four breweries open up. We're almost at four, and Millville has two. And the list is endless of how many have come up in the last 5 years. But that's across the country. And that same idea where the beer companies were huge and massive and all the beer starting to taste the same, and but it's cheap, and that's what we were going for. But the rebellion that has gone on with the craft beer movement is the same idea that we're trying to do with the movie theater movement. We're trying to get away from this big corporate, every experience is the same for your movie watching, and make something special, unique, something with soul. So both craft beer as well as Lawrenceville as a community, as well as our movie theater, ideally have that, a soul. Something that's more interesting, different, unique experience than any other movie theater you will experience. And so those two kind of fit together. They're kind of growing at the same time. And plus, it's nice to drink a beer when you're watching a movie.
Well, I'm guessing a lot of people would enjoy that. It's Essential Pittsburgh. We're talking with Brian Mendelson, owner of newly opened Row House Cinema in Lawrenceville. And you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email us at esspgh@wesa.fm. And on Twitter at esspgh, #EPLive. How are you accessing and watching movies? Do you prefer to stay at home? And what are the things that would entice you to get off your couch and into a theater? And do you patronize the neighborhood theater where you live? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Brian, you mentioned that the neighborhood theater is a notion that goes back decades. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that was, if you wanted to see a movie, you went to a neighborhood theater. There weren't the cineplexes that you see now, which a lot of people like. But it sounds like what you're saying is that the big multiplex movie houses, the big cinemas, are taking something away from the experience that you're trying to put back in.
Absolutely. The you know, as you heard in this segment before, historical theaters had their start in Pittsburgh as a whole. You know, the first Nickelodeon was downtown. I think it's the
Stanley. Well, it was the Stanley. Now it is the Benedum.
The first Nickelodeon was on Smithfield Street. It's torn down now. But it was the first movie theater in the world, some people say, 99 years ago today.
Right here in Pittsburgh.
A couple days ago, yes. And so the – you know, Pittsburgh has a history of movie theaters. There's been a ton. Every neighborhood had one or two. Lawrenceville had three. They are all torn down in the 60s. One of them, the building's still there. It's now a yoga studio, which is nice. But it's the other ones are still parking lots. It is an experience that we've had throughout the entire century. But even before that, small towns, neighborhoods all had a source of entertainment. They all had a place that was their essential community center for the nighttime. And the movie theater has become that for the 20th century. The experience that's different from the multiplex is same as our shopping, as our food, as everything else in our lives, where the goal of the last 30 years seemed to be to make everything the same. So you move from one city to another, you feel comfortable that you could go to your local movie theater and understand it because it's the exact same experience you had at your local movie theater where you lived. So across the country, every single movie theater was purposely made to be the same. I don't feel comfortable with that. That's not how I choose to live my life. And I did this project hoping that other people feel the same way.
Now, you can serve some great beer, but at the end of the day, you're going to have movies that people want to watch. So what kind of films will you be showing?
That's an ever-changing question. So we are not going to be showing first-run movies, which is defined by the movies that those suburban multiplexes will be showing your latest blockbusters.
If somebody wants to come and see The Fault in Our Stars, it won't be at your theater.
Not anytime soon. We like to look at it as there's a lot of movies that come out, and not all of them are good. Time has weeded out what is good and what is not good. And good is loosely defined. Everyone has their own definition of it. But usually time will tell what's worth watching and what's worth looking at again. So with that said, we are theoretical experts in curating the movie selection that we choose to show. So for instance, we're going to take a week span of time, and over that week, we're going to have a theme to it. A good example is we're going to have a Wes Anderson theme coming up, where we're going to have people who are involved with Wes Anderson's movies come in and talk about them and kind of do a retrospective of Wes Anderson. The week after that, we're going to look at something more theoretical. We're going to have, we call it Tragical Magical Week, where it's going to be movies that have this self-exploration, dreamlike world. Groundhog Day, a local film being one of them, Big Fish, Silence of Sleep, being John Malkovich, and Coraline are the movies that we're showing that week. Some of it's going to be more fun. So it's going to be looking at, comedies of the 80s or even local Pittsburgh movies, like films that were filmed in Pittsburgh. So the idea is to take the thousands and thousands of movies that are out there that are already worth watching again, and we will work really hard, with community input to curate those movies so you don't have to spend an hour in front of your online internet service to pick out what movie you're going to watch tonight. We'll help you do that.
And what the movies you're describing sound very interesting. When it comes to films that stand the test of time, how do you decide that? Who is deciding that? Is it you? Is it a committee of people? Are you polling or planning to poll your audience? How will you arrive at the decision to do on what to show and when to show it?
I look forward with struggling with that question over the next many years. it's struggling. The more we struggle with that question, the better we're doing, I think. I'm definitely going to be a big influence in that, as our staff is as well. We want our staff to feel a sense of ownership to our movie theater, and they're all movie lovers. But more importantly, we've already had community feedback of kinds of movies and things like that. Like in a few weeks, we're introducing kid-friendly movies during the daytime where kids could be kids and run around. That was something that people in the neighborhood brought to us, and we will definitely take those kinds of feedback to heart. But we're also going to actually have a lot of people who could We're going to have votes and things like that. And we actually, during our Indiegogo campaign we did to help fundraise for this, we actually allowed people to select a movie based off of a reward. So that, and we like that idea, actually. People enjoyed being able to choose a movie and have their friends, almost like they're renting out the theater.
412-246-2002 if you'd like to join the conversation with our guest, Brian Mendelson, who is the owner of Row House Cinema, which has just opened in Lawrenceville. Let's go to Mara in McKees Rocks. Mara, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Alrighty, I just had a quick comment. I love going to the movie theater to see a movie because there's some movies that just seeing it in the theater is the best experience. My favorite memory ever was going to see the first Star Wars downtown at the Warner Theater. We were in the second row, and those big battle scenes, I mean, literally you were turning your head back and forth. Nothing ever quite competes with, you know, just that memory of seeing those huge battles on, you know, the screen. Things like Avatar, just some of these great cinematic films, to see them on the big screen is the experience. You just can't get it in front of your TV.
Well, there's one vote for the actual theater experience of watching a movie. Mara, thank you for sharing your thoughts. I'm sure that's encouraging to you, Brian.
Yeah, actually, our friends and family opening we did about a month ago was Star Wars. We did the entire series. So it was exciting, my first time seeing it on the big screen.
But people are going to have to wait to see the one that there's a new one coming out, and, mm-hmm. and they're going to have to wait to see that one at your theater at least.
Absolutely, yeah.
You picked up Dan Savage's Hump Film Festival the other weekend after the Hollywood Theater in Dormont was forced to cancel. Why did you decide to pick that up?
That's a good question. I mean, besides the fact that they were homeless and they needed a place to go, and we were able to provide that. I mean, that's half of it. The other half is, theirs are interesting. It's an interesting idea to show the movies that Dan Savage was promoting. We want to be a kind of movie theater that is for everyone. Movies, what's great about them is they aren't just movies that are fun. They also transform you to a different world. They could tell a story. They could tell you facts. They could also be controversial, raise issues. And this definitely fell into the last subject. Those movies explored different aspects of sex, whether it's ageism, sexual identity, things of that nature. I feel that that's essential of what movies do. I mean, we have Do the Right Thing playing next week as well, and Do the Right Thing is one of the most controversial movies of the century, and it looks at modern race and almost predicted what was happening in L.A. With the race riots that happened, a few years later. That's part of what makes movies great. It's not just fun. It's also all those other things.
And you had 1 week to get it all together when you did the Hump Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Considering that you hadn't even had your grand opening yet, what was that like to get that up and going?
That was our first sellout shows. We sold out almost 6 out of 7 of the shows. It was really a test of my staff. We have great staff members, and they pulled through, and we were able to handle the crowds, the lines. A lot of beer was sold, and at the end of the day, I would say almost everyone had a great time, which is when they walk out, you see the smile on your face, you know you did a good job. That's what I like.
412-246-2002, if you'd like to join the conversation with Brian Mendelson, owner of Row House Cinema, trying to bring back the feel of the old-fashioned neighborhood theater with some new twists, craft beers being sold among
and
them.
And all-natural popcorn. We're the first movie theater to actually use real salt, sea salt, and real butter and all that kind of stuff.
If you can take the fat out, people would like it even more. But it sounds delicious. Let's go to Kevin in Lawrenceville. Kevin, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Congratulations on your new theater in your neighborhood.
Yes, I want to congratulate Brian and wanted to say is that bringing Row House to Lawrenceville is one of the last reasons we needed to pull the plug on cable. So, great.
That's excellent news. It's
it's for us too.
We're welcome to have, the fact that people could walk to the theater makes life so much better. I think for the overall experience of a community, the walkability of going to a restaurant, going to a movie, and walking home, it's nothing like it.
Nothing like it at all. We can go and eat at a wonderful restaurant, which are many here, and then take in a movie, have a beer, walk home two blocks. Wonderful.
What Thanks. Are the movies you want to see, Kevin?
He's already listed a whole bunch of them, and no, I'm not sure I want to see Trainspotting again right away, but there are some wonderful things coming up, and we've actually submitted some suggestions for some themes in the weeks to come, and I'm really looking forward to the whole ride that we're going to have here.
All right. Sounds like you've already got a fan.
That's great.
Brian. Kevin, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate that. As far as you're concerned, Brian, is Row House Cinema going to change in some ways the way Pittsburgh watches movies and possibly influence other theaters of the type?
Absolutely. I would say the modern movie theater is dead. There are new business models that are emerging right now.
Okay, wait a minute. Dead? The modern movie? The multiplexes around Pittsburgh seem to be doing pretty good business.
They'll do fine, and they'll survive for a long time, but they're no longer interesting or creative.
I see what you're saying.
They will fade from fashion as the mall has and things like that. The Alamo Drafthouse is the other pioneer in the industry where they added a restaurant in their theater, and they're really looking at doing things differently, and they're expanding really quickly. So there's definitely different places around the country. McMenamin's is another one in Portland that's really looking at being creative with the movie theater. So it's really an exciting time for the movie industry where a lot of people are actually trying this, trying how to rethink what a movie theater is. And this is our take on it. Our model is different than theirs. And we think ours is right for Pittsburgh. So we didn't try to duplicate other ideas that are coming out across the country. We wanted to rethink what that movie experience is here. And I think we're hopefully doing a good job.
Why do you think it took so long for someone like yourself and some others around the country to come up with this idea of reinventing the concept of the movie theater? I mean, for decades, it was rows of seats, screen up front, and, you know, you can go out to a glass case in the lobby and buy your candy or your popcorn or your pop, no beer or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the experience for, you know, on through, well, really up until throughout the 20th century and well into the 21st. But now you're reinventing it. But it took almost, what, 100 years?
Yeah.
Why?
I think we're changing the way we live. I think we're changing what excites us and what our preferences are as a society. And this new movie theater concept reflects those new current preferences. But also technology has helped with that as well. Modern technology enables us to create a new movie theater, both from a digital cinema perspective. We don't show film. We show DCP, which is like this high, super high-end digital cinema process. Then the sound's a better experience. Everything's a better experience with the technology. But also just people knowing who we are and how we exist. You know, like you could go on your cell phone and find out what movies are showing, and we have websites and things like that. That enables us as a startup to exist and get the word out and allow people to know we're here. 10 years ago, that would be a lot more difficult.
Let's go to Don, also in Lawrenceville. Don, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Hi, Don.
What's the answer off the air? How you doing?
Hi, Don. You're on with Brian Mendelson.
You were saying that this is the first time in Pittsburgh. I was wondering. I mean, the Beehive in Oakland back in '93, I think it had a 10-year run of being a small micro theater. So I'm wondering if we're forgetting the fact that this has already existed. And secondly, that was my comment. My question is, what will your pricing structure be for movies? Because I think that's a big issue for why people go in and watch their movies at home, price. So what kind of pricing structure we have? I'll take the comment off the air. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Don.
So there is two questions there. The first one, the Beehive was in existence in the late 90s. I actually saw many movies there myself when I was a student. We're the first theater to build their urban theater from scratch. We are not an old theater that we repurposed into a movie theater. You know, similar to the previous segment, those are, you know, that's a group of individuals who take theaters like what the Beehive was, King's Court, and repurpose them into an existing movie theater. I wish we had that, but I cannot, you know, we can't build that in Lawrenceville. We had to build it from scratch. So that was a much more difficult process for us, but that was also a unique process. And the second question was the concerning the price for admission. We have matinee prices of $6. We have full price of $9. We do give several discounts for students. We give kids discount. We also have a Lawrenceville discount. So if you have a 15201 zip code, you get $1 off. And then Thursday is our all-day cheap price. So it's $6 all day or $5 if you're a local resident. Then we actually have costume discounts because these are older movies and people love them. When we show Harry Potter, if you dress up like a character in Harry Potter and you do a good job, we could give you up to you could get in for free. Just depends on how good the costume is.
How much is a Star Wars stormtrooper?
Oh, if you're full search, we'll pay you actually to come down and market for us. So not only would we give you a free ticket, your companion would get a free ticket.
There you go. Well, we've gone over for the segment, but I wanted to work in one last question from Jim in Oakland. And Jim, I'm sorry we can't get you on the air right now, but very quickly, he wanted to ask about descriptive movies for the blind. Will you be doing that?
Oh, that's a great question. Yes. We have thought about different accessibilities, including blind, hearing impaired. We have several different technologies for that. And then we also are going to be doing, for blind, we're going to be reaching out soon to do blind showings, which is, that you actually hear the movie and it's described to you as the movie showing. And it's awkward for that to really happen for some people. You don't feel comfortable necessarily using the technology. So we're actually going to have showings geared towards people who need that kind of accessibility. But we have that technology at all given times.
Sounds like great news all the way around. Mm-hmm. Brian Mendelsohn is the owner of Row House Cinema, a brand new neighborhood theater opening in Lawrenceville, the first for Lawrenceville in 50 years. Brian, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, the U.S. and Portugal in an exciting tie game yesterday that wasn't exactly your father's soccer. Will it have a halo effect in Pittsburgh? We'll put that question to our sports guy, Bob Dvorak. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.